You know, I was sitting there thinking as we were praying about Lighthouse Kids, and I was going back to, because I was raised in a Christian home. I think I was just about born in church, and I was thinking of all the scripture verses that I know, and I would be pretty certain that over 90% of the scripture verses that are stuck somewhere in there, first of all, are in King James Version. But second of all, I learnt before I was 12. And it was in children's work. And I'm sitting here thinking, as an adult, I probably sat, well, I will have sat in far more sermons than I sat in a children's time. But yet, the scriptures that are in there have came when I was a child. And so in no way, shape, or form can we ever think that as those children go out that door that it frees us up to get on with the important things. And I'm saying it as a husband and as an elder. If you can even help one Sunday a term or one more a term, it will revolutionize a problem that we have. It will just change that. So if you can help, please, make my wife's day. And knowing that this weekend she struggled because Sue wasn't well, so there had to be, Penny was unwell, so there had to be changes who was worshiping. Pat fell, broke her arm, she was supposed to be overseeing and leading a group. I know just the pressures and the struggles that there were. For something that's going to be the generation that's going to experience revival when they were children, and they're going to remember that. And that's going to set them with a purpose and a plan and a destiny for the church that's going to be very different than a generation of children that were not raised in the time of revival. And I'm excited about what our children are going to experience and what church they're going to be part of in the future. As Simon said earlier, we've been going through this series on connecting to, and we started out with just the foundation, the basis of connecting to God. Because if we're not connected to God, it's a bit like Bruce up here with his 200-watt amp, his great big speaker. If there was no power there, what sound would come out of that speaker? Nothing. And he could put every bit of energy and effort he could into playing that bass guitar. And if you were sitting at the back there, you would hear nothing. But yet, because he's connected to the power source, and because he then has an amplifier in between that even takes that power and increases it, he could turn it up that would literally cause this building to shake. It could, couldn't it? I was tempted to get you to do that as a object lesson, but I'll save your ears for another time. I can remember when we first got a computer, bought our first computer, and it came with a subwoofer and some speakers. And the thing about a subwoofer is when you're up close to it, you can barely hear it. It's only when you get further away, and it's a bit like that with a bass amp, isn't it? When you're up close to it, you don't realize how loud it is. But you get out there, and you think, why has he got his bass so loud? Well, I like bass, so it'd be hard to be too loud for me. But well, we need to be plugged in, connected to the source. And I kind of was, as Bruce was talking about his amp to me this morning, I thought, you know, it's like that fullness of Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. God has provided His Son Jesus, saved me by His grace, filled me, turned the amp up with the power of the Spirit of God. Why? So that we can shake this world, connected to God, connected to one another, His church. Jesus came for His church. Jesus loves His church. He has given everything for His church. connected to one another, serving one another, caring for one another, loving one another, hurting for one another when there's things to hurt about, rejoicing when there's things to rejoice about. I was talking to Dave just before the meeting started. You know, I was hurting with Dave over Carol's condition at the moment. Someone in our midst who's in constant pain and discomfort at the moment, who needs a touch of God. And I know some of the elders went around and prayed on Thursday night. We'd love to be able to say that she was totally healed. But Dave said they saw some breakthrough the next day. And that some consultants, some people who can make a difference, finally got their heads together and are doing something. And some things have been put into place. Will we stop praying then? No. Because we're church. Will we stop hurting because Pat's got a broken arm? No. Will we stop and just sit back and just enjoy the glory of the Lord with a smile on our face because Helga's still unwell? Yes, we will and we won't. Because we'll weep with those who weep and we'll rejoice with those who rejoice. Because we're church and we're family together. And we'll serve with the children and we'll serve with the older folk. We'll serve with everyone else in between. There'll be coffees that'll be done and chairs have been put out. And PA was set up. You know, some of you can roll up here at sort of 9:29 and a half, or slightly later, sit on a chair, and at shortly after 12, well, no, I'm preaching later after 12, that was a joke, by the way, you'll be able to go home. And it'll be great, wonderful. But some were here, like Pip. I arrived here at 8:45, and Pip was already here. His van was out there, and he was in here putting up the PA and sorting out things so that it could sound better for us. And the chairs were out, and castles were being moved out of the building, and people were sorting things out. We're serving, not because we must, because this is what it is to be family and church together, connecting to one another. And a big part of that is hospitality, loving and caring and sharing together, having meals together. I was in Tesco's, and I bumped into Simon's mom in Tesco's, and she was buying a bottle of wine. And I said, ooh, I'll come around and share that with you guys. She goes, anytime. And I thought, you know, that's part of the family. It's part of the family of God, just doing that. And sometimes we get so organized in our lives and in our hospitality that we forget that hospitality should just be natural. Naturally who we are. Giving, looking out, helping, serving, providing. Maybe it's a meal, maybe it's a walk, maybe it's some chocolate. Oh, Bridget, I saw something this week. You knew it was coming. I was on the internet and I saw the ultimate chocolate train. Have you seen it? It is a full-size model of a train made out of chocolate. I'll tell you, if I could park that in your front garden, Bridget, I would. I know, it would be eaten, but there we go. And then last week, Simon looked at connected to our community. Boy, that's what we're about, isn't it? To impact those around us. To share the gospel with those on our doorsteps. Those that walk through our front doors. We talked about the two front doors prophecy. This front door, people coming in here and finding Jesus. People coming into our homes and finding Jesus. Wherever we are, whether it's in the workplace, on the street, in the school playground, whether it's in Tesco's, finding Jesus. Oh, I heard this great story this week. I don't think Susie will be too upset if I share it, but she was in Tesco or in Sainsbury and she found herself in the wrong line. And the lady given her real difficulty because she was in the wrong line. Like quite rude to her, really. And Susie just, in the way that she does, she was just sharing how she just, oh, I'm ever so sorry, I'll put my things away. Yes, I know, I'm going as quick as I can. Oh, I know I'm in the wrong line. You've told me that four times already, but I'm moving for you. And she said something inside of her just was, I want to be like Jesus to this person, even though she's being rude to me. That's what it is to be Jesus to our community. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach. That doesn't mean preaching standing up here like I am now. But it's proclaiming Jesus all the time. Through our lives, through our actions and our reactions. Through the care and the love that we show to those around us. And at times to be very clear in our stance. And you know, it's becoming more and more difficult to be clear in our stance. Bible says that there'll be a time when good will be called bad and bad will be called good. Okay? I want you to think about some of the laws that have been passed in the last few years where actually biblically bad is now considered good and what is good is now illegal. Yeah? It's happening in our day. Quite regularly in our country. And I have a suspicion it's going to get worse before it gets better. We need to be the light of the world. We need to be salt and light to this world. Why? Because we're the only ones who have dwelling within us the true light. Jesus, by His Spirit, equipping us to proclaim that. And so, if we're connected to God, we're connected to each other, we're doing it here in the community, what's left? The whole rest of the planet. And so we're looking at connecting to the bigger pictures. And as we come to the end of this series, there's one prayer that I have for each of us, that this isn't the end of the series. But actually, that what we've been able to do is to be whet your appetite for much more. To stir in your heart a desire for these not just to be preachers or words on a paper, but something that begins to define us ever clearer as to who we are as a people together. Simon mentioned the Place to Belong course. Well, actually, if you've been here the last 4 weeks, you've got most of the Place to Belong course because this is who we are. This is what we want to be. This is where we're going and what is at the very heart of us. And when we think about the early church, they were commissioned to connect to the bigger picture. That was their commission. Think of the words of Jesus. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation. Mark 16:15. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when my Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts 8. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. This was the early church. And you know what? For them, you got to follow this, for them, we, sitting here now, were the ends of the earth. Even though there is some strange song that says that Jesus walked on English soil, sorry, he didn't. We were the ends of the earth. 2,220 miles, the way the crow flies, from Jerusalem is where you're sitting right now. That was the ends of the earth to them. They had no idea about the continents of North America and South America. They didn't know Australia existed. They had a very small and parochial view because transport was how far you could walk or ride on a horse. Beijing was 4,441 miles from where they were. They may have had some idea of the Oriental culture. But the ends of the earth to them was beyond their comprehension. But yet the church didn't say, oh, sorry, that's too big for us. They just got on with it. They were empowered. They were envisioned. They'd caught something in their spirit that said, this is too good to keep to ourselves. Yes, we want to get it out. And it was getting out. In the book of Acts, we read about it. We read about it the last couple of weeks. You know, they broke bread together, the apostles' teaching, they fellowshiped together in their homes, and people were added to them daily. That was their connecting to their community in a very powerful and intimate way. And the church was growing. And it could have continued to grow in that sort of microcosm of growth, but something happened that caused the church to go to the world. I'll ask you a few things. One, Jesus commissioned them. Two, Jesus empowered them. Three, Jesus allowed persecution to come. Because it was because of the persecution. After Stephen was stoned, it says that the church scattered. Only apostles stayed in the locality. The church, but wherever they went, they preached the gospel. And that was the beginning of the church spreading out. And beginning to go to the ends of the earth. A bit of a drastic way to get the church to fulfill the Great Commission, send persecution, but it worked. And the very fact that we're sitting here now proclaiming Jesus and knowing him is because the early church took very seriously, we're going. And we're going empowered, and we're going equipped, and we're going with the truth. And when we get to wherever we're going, we're going to tell them the truth. And how glorious it is that that still continues today. It still continues today. Let's look at those three things, those three circles that are sort of there. The Jerusalem we've talked about. Let's talk a little bit about our Judea, our Samaria, and our ends of the earth. Well, I think our Judea includes the churches that we already have regular contact with and the areas that we already have regular contact with. We look to support and be supported by other plants from Aylsham. If you're new to us, you may not know this. But Aylsham Community Church, in the size that we are, has been significantly involved in church planting. We have friends in numerous churches who used to come and worship here. And in numbers. The first Sunday that Chris and I came into this church, it was full. More than there is here now. Quite a few more. There were extra rows on the side. There weren't many empty seats. And we thought, wow, this is quite amazing for a town this size. And the worship was great, and there was excitement about what was going on, and they were talking about church planting and going to the ends of the earth and all sorts of different things. And we went back down to Devon, where we were living. We were looking to move up here, and we thought, what a great church to be part of. We came back about 3 weeks later, and it was like, have I got my theology of the rapture wrong? Because there was empty seats and gaps and less chairs out. And it was like, where is everybody gone? And in that 2 or 3 week period, they planted a church. And a huge big section, probably about the number of people that are sitting here now, all of a sudden were up and gone, and they had their own group that they were meeting on a Sunday morning in another town. And it happened over and over and over again. And so Sheringham and Holt and Cromer and North Walsham and Durham and others, all of them impacted because we decided we would take our Judea seriously. And many of you have been part of that. Many of you have invested time, emotion, money, and effort into seeing those church planted, those churches planted. And to a certain extent, we've been too successful. Because we don't have a lot left in our Judea to plant into. But yet, we have some opportunities. We have some opportunities to be involved. Fakenham. Not directly planted from here, but Ben and Amy were part of who we were here. And they came, Ben was here, and helped us in so many ways for years, helping to establish what was here, and then getting involved in North Walsham, which we planted out of here. And then going across and being implanted in Durham, which, we planted out of here. And now leading a church plant in Fakenham. Not very far away. But our heart is for them. We've had Ben on this stage sharing some of the hurts and the concerns that they've had in planting. We've hurt with them and rejoiced with them over the years. Some of you know very little about them. Some of you know quite a bit about them. We need to be learning more about them. Because it's important that we're connecting with our Judea. And just recently, Simon said we need to get Ben back on a Sunday morning to talk to us about what's happening, how we can support. And we do support that. We send worship leaders across. We go across and preach sometimes. Or sometimes when we go midweek and help with their growth groups, their small groups, whatever they call them. And we're continuing to be involved in that. Why? Because we're nice people? Or because we've got a vision? We've got a vision to change the face of Christianity in our Judea. We follow prophetic leadings, and that was a prophetic word that was given to us as a group of churches, that we would be part of changing the face of Christianity. And we've got part of that in our Judea. The other churches that we're working with, we have regular contact with. The leaders get together. There's times when they come and we get together for celebrations here in this building. We've got one coming up not very far away. March the 3rd. Goff will be here preaching. I think I've got that in my notes somewhere, but I never follow my notes much. Why? Just because it's a nice thing to do and Goff's a great preacher? No, it's because it builds us together. Another prophetic word over us. You will do more together than you can apart. You know, we don't just do this because there's some fun strategy. We do this because this is what God is saying to us. And when God speaks and calls us to do something, you know what the best thing to do is? Do it. Unfortunately, quite often when God speaks and calls us to do something, we question it. Or do something else. Or try and find an easier way to do it. Or find somebody else to do it. But when God speaks, we have to move. I read this great quote this week. It said a preacher was up preaching, and the leadership team of the church had felt God say that they needed a new building. Don't worry, not us. Well, not yet anyways. Okay? And it was going to cost a lot. And he got up to the front and he says, God has called us to build a new building because ours is falling apart and inadequate. And the great thing is this. He's already given us the money for it. Cheer goes through the congregation. The only problem is it's still in your pockets. Children's youth worker. God's called us. It's going to affect our locality. So we can have more children released. And they're going to grow up. And they're going to go out to our Judeas and our Samarias and the ends of the earth. You know, I look at our teenagers and I think they're probably the ones who will affect the ends of the earth more than anyone else. They will. I think of the young people that have gone out of this place and the impact that they've had, the places they've been, the places they are right now, impacting the world. And we've got a young Ben who was here, part of us, who's now leading a church plant. How exciting is that? We've been part of that. And so our Judea is not just where we go and how we do it, but what are we doing here to equip people to be part of that? Have you thought of going across on a Sunday afternoon to Fakenham? It's not that far. What a blessing it will be. How do you like it when someone walks through here that's an old friend of the church? Maybe they moved away. It's just really great. You see them say, oh, it's good to see you. Welcome. Are you back just visiting? Yeah, how are you doing? And it's just, you know, it's just lovely. And you see them worshiping. And part of the congregation. And often they'll come back, oh, we so miss being part of where you are. It's good where we are. It was great when we were with you. You ever had those conversations? Well, how about blessing Ben and Amy by saying, one Sunday afternoon, we're going to go across. We're just going to roll up and show up and be part of what they're doing. We're just going to bless them. I'll tell you what, I can fit another four people in my car. So I'll phone around. Ah, I'm part of a community. We're connecting together. As a community, do you want to come with me? Let's go across. You know, five people joining a congregation of 20 can make a huge difference. Percentage-wise, it's huge. It's a bit like all of a sudden 50 people just coming to join us. And we've had that some Sunday mornings. There's been some Sundays where a local church has had a church weekend, and instead of having their own Sunday morning, they've just shown up here. Didn't bother to tell us they were coming. Or a youth group just comes in, and they joined us. There was one Sunday not that long ago. It was about 6-8 months ago. We all of a sudden had about 15 youth join us. It was great. It just kind of builds your faith that we're in this together, and we're doing something great together. As churches are being established, as church plants are being established, we must never just think they're them and we're us. That's not what we're about in relation together, relationship together. They're them. We are us. And let's be looking for the way of building that in even greater measure. We continue to seek to build relationally, sometimes with specific churches plants, and sometimes with those that we just might do a one-off on. I can remember going with Morris to Medway Chapel in Norwich. You've been there, haven't you? Yeah. They're not part of New Frontiers. They have some different values than us in some ways. Brilliant church. Amazing church. Great church. I went once with Morris. And a few weeks ago, I was looking for a new guitar amp, and I happened to be sitting in this guy's home who was selling one. And I just said to him, I'd seen it advertised. I said, oh, why are you selling? He said, oh, he said, I'm getting married again. He said, I'm getting married again, moving away and everything, and just need to do a bit of clearing out. And God has just provided this so well. And I said, oh, are you a Christian? He goes, yeah. I said, oh, where do you attend? He said, oh, Medway Chapel. And I went, oh, I've been there once. He went, Marshall, that Marshall. Now, I was worried at that point what the next statement was going to be. But once I'd been there, one time, I only went to support Morris. I wasn't even doing anything. I just said a few things at the end. Morris preached and everything. I just brought a couple of things I felt God had laid on me. And he said, his words were, I remember. I went once and built a relationship with someone that I've never seen again. And that was so 6-7 years ago. But he's in our Jerusalem. These churches in our Jerusalem, and we fellowship together, and we pray together, and we work together. I'm getting involved with some churches that are just slightly further afield. I've been asked to go across and help with Peterborough and Stamford. If you don't know the history of them, both churches having some difficulties in their history. Both churches beginning to reestablish who they are and to make some impact. And Adam Bradley, who was here, and Wouter and Simone, who were here, through relationship, have asked me if I'll come across once a month, sometimes midweek, sometimes on a Sunday morning, sometimes on a Saturday for a men's breakfast. That one wasn't hard to say yes to. And to just have some input with them, to help them stir up spiritual gifts and to get some vision and passion deep into who they are. Do you know what, church? I need you to help me to do that well. And when I go across, there'll be some times I'll be saying to some of you, come on, come with me. I can fit another 3-4 people in my car. Come across. You might not have to say a word except hello. Who knows? God just might use you to bring the prophetic word that's going to change that Judea. That's going to open up that church and help them to reach their community. Help them to connect with God. Help them to connect with one another in a fresh way. How exciting. So you see, you're not just sitting here worried about what's happening in Aylsham, but we're all part of what God is doing in a greater and growing impact of who we are together. Our Samaria includes our relational mission work. I've talked a little bit about it already, but churches working together under the care and apostolic oversight of Mike Betts and the team that's supporting him. We are not in this alone. We are not an independent, one-off church that's doing our thing. We're a part of a growing group of churches that have passion and vision and impact because of more together than we are apart. And when Mike Betts comes and speaks, there's things that he said from this platform that ring so true and loud, I can't get them out of my head. Now, some of you know that I suffer from tinnitus. And I have a constant ringing in my head. Maybe it's because I talk too much. I don't know. Sometimes it's really bad and sometimes it's hardly there. And I sometimes wear a hearing aid because it puts some gray noise into my ear. I don't wear my hearing aid when playing guitar for some reason. But I'll tell you, ringing louder in my ears are some of those apostolic words that come to us that form us and shape us and create us and cause us to grab a hold and say, yes. Not long ago, Mike was here, and he brought with him a team of some prophetic people, and the apostolic and the prophetic working together in our Samaria and our relational mission. Oh, the impact and the power of that. That's when the match hits the fuse. And you just sit and you can just wait for the spiritual explosion to happen. And it's such an exciting thing to be part of a group of churches who have heard from God and continue to hear from God and then put that into practice. And there's people who are sitting in this room who have moved here recently because they want to be part of what we're doing here, because we're not just getting it right on the ground here in Aylsham, but because we want to get it right in our Judea and in our Samaria. We want to be linked in with churches. And at the moment, it used to be that kind of our sphere here was sort of Norwich and Lowestoft and us, and almost got across to King's Lynn and maybe down as far as Attleborough. And then all of a sudden, Bury St. Edmunds sort of crept into that, and then Ipswich, and then Canterbury, and then Peterborough, and then Stamford. And the exciting thing is, God has his hand upon us as a group of churches, along with other groups of churches, in order to fulfill his purposes. And it's an exciting thing. And so when there's a celebration that's taking place here, it might be more of our Judea that's gathering together. But within that will be the heart, because when Goff comes, he comes with that prophetic and that apostolic power in his preaching. When Mike comes and preaches, there's something greater than we can deliver here. Because of the gifting and the anointing and the calling God has put upon. Be there. Catch the vision of it. Find out what's happening. What is God saying? What is God doing amongst us? And we need to be part of that as well. We support our relational mission through our prayers. We support it through our attendance. We support it financially as well. Why? Because we have to know. We wouldn't have to give a penny. There is no coercion for us to give a penny to what happens in relational mission. But we give, and we give generously. Why? Because we want to see churches established with clarity and with power right across our Samaria. We want to be reaching into Europe, which is beginning to step in to the ends of the earth. But there's always an overlap of circles. There's always something concentric within the circles that are changing churches and changing countries. And some of you here have heart and passion for different countries. And when Morris was here, we had lots of different Europeans flowing through the church. You never knew when they were coming and when they were going. And it was part of who we are. And it still is. And we've changed the focus of who we are as a church a little bit from being apostolic in our big pushes to being more focused on the local community and those that are around us. But we must never, ever lose that, or we become unbiblical. And if we become unbiblical, we need to change. And I encourage you, be praying about the other churches that we're involved with. Find ways to engage with them. Read what's coming out with the relational mission stuff. If you're not getting it on your emails, talk to us and we'll give you the email so that you can get a hold and be reading what God is doing and getting excited about that. And then finally, the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. How can Aylsham Community Church be involved in the ends of the earth? How can you be involved in the ends of the earth? Whether you're 93 or 23, you can be involved to the ends of the earth. I remember about 18 or 19, I read a book that was called Touch the World Through Prayer. I tried to find my copy of it. I've obviously lent it to a Christian. I do remember a quote in it. It went something like this. It says, as individuals within a church, notice he said individuals in the church, you can be as fully involved in missions as the person who's on the mission field through prayer. Your prayer is just as powerful in your lounge for someone in Africa. I was in Canada when I read this, so Africa was a long way away. Just as involved with someone there and just as powerful in prayer in your lounge in the middle of Canada as if you were standing in Africa. And it changed my vision and passion and my faith about praying. That my prayer wasn't just something I could just throw out there and it would make a little bit of change. But I can make a significant change in other places, even though I might never, ever, ever be able to be there. You know what? You're here, and you may never visit another country, but you can be vitally and actively and powerfully involved in other countries. Jeff often reminds us, and on the back wall there's different things that are happening, difficult situations in other countries, ones that we, praise God, are not facing yet. Yet. But we can be praying for a person who's being persecuted, whose life is on the line and under torture, because they're doing exactly what you're doing right now. And we can be just as effective in their grace and the glory of God being with them and the gospel going out through that person by praying right here, right now, in your home, as if you were standing there with them. Otherwise, I've got the wrong understanding of God. Because the last time I checked, God is never limited by space and time. The only thing that can limit him sometimes is our lack of faith and our lack of prayer and action. We can be involved. I get the privilege of going out to Serbia. This is where I'm going to end this morning. Well, not quite. But we have an ends of the earth, Serbia. A nation that has one of the lowest percentage of evangelical believers on the face of the planet. We have planted a church. We have invested somewhere in the neighborhood, I wait for it, £100,000 into that nation over the years. And we will continue to invest significant amounts of money into the work there. Why? Because we're trapped into something? Not in the slightest. Because it was a good idea? No. Because God called us to be involved with that nation? Absolutely. And we've had people standing in this building on this stage who have come to know Jesus because we followed what God has said. That excites me. It excites me to see a very small church making huge impact. Beginning to plant out into other towns. Beginning to plant out into, other nations. And impacting. I was on the phone while Skyping with Vlada, and he said, I look forward to when people come and we send team from your church to Macedonia. He wasn't even talking about Serbia. Here's a little group of people, 30, maybe 40, on their best Sunday when they bring their cat and dog with them. Talking about another nation. Because it's in their DNA. And it's in their heart that the ends of the world are there for you. How would you like to be involved in planting a church in Macedonia? You can be. One, pray. Two, go into all the world and preach. Oh, where have I heard that before? Three, give. Four, do all three of them again. We can change the world. We can change the world, not because we're such a great, wonderful bunch of people and we have the skills and the abilities amongst us, but because we've got a great and amazing God who has commissioned us and called us to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Our vision is not just a wishful thinking or an unreachable ideal. It is what we believe God has called us to. We didn't just choose four Sundays, and this will not be the end of the series. It might be the end of the four preaches, but it is not the end of the series. We have another 11 months in this year where we'll be living this out. We'll be talking about it, praying about it, enthusing about it, believing God about it, listening to God about it, and encouraging one another about it. We need to live it out on the ground. Are you connecting with God in a greater way? Let's pray. Father, we believe that you've called us to be a church that is not just an attended on Sunday morning church. But you've called us to be a people who want to fulfill your purposes and your plans. And I pray right now you will help us to connect with you this week in a greater way than we ever have before. I pray for moments in people's quiet times, their prayer times, and their ones and twos, and their growth groups that are just full of the presence and the power of you, the living God. I pray that as we connect with one another, that there will be a dynamic and a synergy of church that is powerful and mighty, that within our family we find our needs met. We find that we're hurting and laughing and rejoicing and helping and serving and being hospitable to one another in such a way that we glow with the presence of the Spirit of God. I pray that we'll be connecting with Aylsham and the surrounding villages in such a way that people are finding Jesus and being saved and added in. Oh, I pray for the daily. The moment, it's more like every few monthly. Help us to be so full of the Spirit of God that we get to that daily stage. And help us to go to the ends of the earth. And whether that's to physically go or whether that's to spiritually go, help us to pray like we've never prayed before. To serve like we've never served before. And you've already spoken to us this morning about how important it is to grab a hold of this season, to be excited about this season, to grow in this season. Lord, I want to add weight to that prophetic word that Megan brought and bring it back to us. Pray at church, believe at church, expect at church, receive at church, and then let's do at church for the glory of our King. Where do we go from here? Can I encourage you? If you haven't got a set of the notes or that growth group leaders have got a hold of, ask them for them. Go back to the preachers and ask them for them. Pray them through. Make them happen. Don't let them just be something that happened in January. If there are areas that you're not, that we've talked about that are not in your life, that are not part of who you are, begin to pray about it. Begin to strategize. Get alongside of others who it is in their life and begin to catch it. Make it infectious. Pray for laborers, for finances, for gifting, for motivation, for spirit power, for visitation of God, for prophetic direction, for personal faith, for contacts for you, for opportunities to proclaim the gospel, for gifts of hospitality, for open doors and open eyes to see what we can do now and in the future. And let's stand here next January excited about what God has done, enthralled by what He's done through us, and ready for a lot more. You up for that? Amen.